Thank you for choosing to listen to our sermon podcast. My name is Chris Mitchell. I'm one of the pastors here at First Covenant Church of Anchorage. If you have any questions or prayer requests, feel free to stop by or send an email to office@anchoragefirstcovenant.com. God bless. I am excited to be here with you this morning. Now, I don't think we've done this enough, but one of the traditional Easter greetings says, "He is risen," and then everybody says, "He is risen indeed." So, he is risen!
He is risen indeed!
Amen. I say this every Easter, and I didn't realize I said this every Easter, but I went back last week and I looked at my notes, and I saw that I start up the almost exact same way with every Easter service I do. I know some of you, and there's others of you that I have not met. And some of you may only come once or twice a year. And some of you might have only come because it's Easter and a family member or a friend just like, you know, kind of asked you to come and you felt like you had to. We all come to this place for many different reasons. But I want you to know, no matter what your reason is, no matter the method of your presence, whether you call this your home, or you're a longtime visitor, or this is your first time here, whether you're coming in person, or whether you're joining online, you are here invited and welcomed because you are loved, because God treasures you, values you, and wants you to know that you're special, important, and beloved to him, the apple of your Father's eye. And I pray today that you meet with the abounding love of Jesus Christ, who is always with you, always ready to lead you back to him, and always waiting for him, or always waiting for you. And with that, let's prepare to read our scripture passage this morning. And this is probably the weirdest of the Easter stories, because it cuts off unexpectedly. So much so that some scholars are convinced that that this ending, the original ending, was lost, because it's just really weird. And it ends so suddenly that some scribes wrote other endings that were obviously tacked on at a later date because they don't quite fit. But we're just going to leave the story in all of its weirdness. And so with that, let's read Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go anoint Jesus' body. Very early on in the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they've laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And that's it. That's the story in Mark. That's the resurrection story. So let's go over this real quick. So the story starts with these three women, Mary Magdalene, and so we know that from the Gospels that she was once possessed by seven demons, until Jesus freed her from her spiritual captivity. And then there was Mary, the mother of James. And we're not sure who this Mary was. Like, Mary was, like, the most common name in there because there's, like, 27 million Marys in the Bible. But but some scholars will say this is the Virgin Mary, and then some scholars say, no. This is Jesus' aunt from Joseph's side. So they don't know. And then Salome. And Salome was the mother of James and John, the disciples with a temper that were called the Sons of Thunder. And these three women, they went to the tomb, hoping to honor Jesus by anointing his body with oils and spices. Now, I don't know what these women believed, but, you know, following the Gospels, Jesus had raised several people from the dead, including his good friend Lazarus, who had been dead for several days. And Jesus often spoke of his resurrection. And maybe they believed him, or maybe they didn't. But they probably weren't expecting him to be raised anytime soon, because they wanted to care for his dead body. People put oil and spices on dead bodies because they stank. The flesh, it rotted away, and they smelled, especially in the heat of the Middle East. Okay? And so they wanted to anoint Jesus' body after several days in sweltering under the Israeli sun. And that says how much they loved Jesus, that they wanted to be there. So they go to the tomb, wondering how they're going to move this giant stone from in front of the tomb. And there's no men with them. All right? They didn't bring any muscle, but they were determined. And when they got there, the tomb was open. The large stone, and it must have been huge, you know, right? Because it has to cover the opening. So hundreds and hundreds of pounds. It basically blocked the door, and the stone was rolled away. And the tomb was open, exposed to the elements, you know, wild animals, whatever, could have gotten in. And I'm not sure if I would have gone in, but they had a plan and they followed it. So they entered into the tomb to find a man sitting where Jesus' body should have laid. And the scripture says the women were alarmed, but I think that's an understatement. Okay? This one time here at this church, Rebecca, our office manager, she was getting something from the closet underneath the stairs, and she heard a noise. And so she came up and get me because it scared her. And she's like, it sounds bigger than the rat. And I'm like, okay. And now I'm not a super brave fellow, but, I had to go do it. And so I went down there, and I took my cell phone flashlight, and I moved around some boxes and shelves to get to the back of the closet. And when I got there, a human face popped out at me. And let me tell you, I screamed so loud. And it turns out that one of our homeless friends had figured a way to get back there and made himself a little sleeping nook, and it had been clamped out there for I don't know how long. But so yeah, you know, live faces when you're not expecting anything. It's scary. And so the women, they were understandably frightened. But the man dressed in white, who was an angel, we find out from other Gospels, he said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Jesus just left. You know, which is kind of scary in and of itself. Don't worry, Jesus just left. I mean, he says, Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified, he is risen, he's not here. And the angel pointed to the place where the body would have been. And the angels tell the women, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you'll see him just as I told you. Now, not only is Jesus alive, but he's out doing errands and meeting the people. I mean, who can imagine such a thing? By the way, I just want to point this out. Peter was pointed out among the disciples. Now, why Peter? Because Peter was the disciple that denied Jesus explicitly, right? Three times. And Jesus wanted to make sure that Peter got the message that he was still loved, that he was still part of the tribe, right? That Jesus was still for Peter, even when Peter wasn't for Jesus. So, the angel told the frightened women all of this. And the women are terrified, and they run away, and they don't tell anyone. And that's the end of the story. It's a weird, weird gospel. Now, we know from the other gospels that they did tell the disciples eventually. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene and comforts her in her grief. But the Gospel of Mark just ends with terror and running away. And I have a few thoughts about that ending, and I'll share them in a bit. But I want to point out several things in the story that we can learn. First, the two Marys and Salome, they went to the tomb to anoint Jesus. They didn't know how they were going to get to him, right? There's this giant rock rolled in front of the entryway. And just so you know, to move those rocks, they use the power of gravity, right? They dig a trench in front of it, and so they kind of roll it into the trench, so it's kind of like falling into a hill to help move the rock. So it's not that hard to put into place. But to move the rock, right, that would I mean, we're talking, you guys know, like, a rock this big would take many, many, many of us. So, it would have needed many men, ropes, maybe even donkeys and oxen. But these women, they went in faith that somehow they could get to Jesus. And this is a lesson that we can learn. That nothing can keep us away from the love of God. These women were brokenhearted. They were hurt. I mean, where else could they go? I mean, look at Mary Magdalene. She's the one that we know the most about. She was a woman who was known to be possessed by demons. And I can assure you, that did not make her the most popular or beloved person in her village. But she knew that Jesus had given her new life. And when Jesus had cast out those demons, he had given her a life. She didn't know where to go, but she knew. She knew that in Jesus there was life. And so she went to be by him, even though he was dead. He was the source of the life she had. Church, men and women, young people and old people, where do you go when you're hurt? Where do you go when you're brokenhearted? These women, they went to Jesus. They didn't run away. They didn't isolate themselves. They didn't turn inward. They didn't deny him. They went to the one who knew him, the one who loved him, the one who showed them that they were lovable, that they had worth and value. Their love for Jesus drove them to seek him out, even when it appeared that Jesus was dead. There's this verse in Romans that I think they knew even before it was written, because this verse in Romans wasn't written yet. 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think the women knew that, even though they didn't know that yet. Because they came, and they sought them out. The second thing I want to point out is these women, they came expecting something. Right? They expected to see a dead body. They thought they were going to be there to anoint it. You know, they kind of thought they were the cleanup crew, like the janitors. Right? Everything was over. They just wanted one more chance to show their devotion to the one they loved. But God had something else in mind. They may have thought of themselves as just the cleanup crew, but God had called them to be apostles. Right? The one sent out to declare that Jesus was alive, that he was risen. Right? This is a patriarchal society. Women had no standing. But these were who God had selected to proclaim to the disciples that Jesus was alive. That's why Mary Magdalene is sometimes called the first apostle or the apostle to the apostles. Right? God's plans are always bigger and more mysterious than we can ever imagine. And God will always surprise us. Things will not work out the way that we plan. Things didn't work out the way these women planned. But it all will eventually work out the way God planned. So don't get discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Life has detours. Things will be unexpected. Mistakes will happen. Bad things will happen. But that doesn't mean the story is over. It could just mean that God is beginning. 2 Corinthians 2:9 says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who loved him. We don't know what God planned. We can't know all the wonders that God plans. But God is at work. God is at work in this world. And the last thing I want to look at is the message that Jesus gave to the angel. Go tell the disciples and Peter he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Now, I love this because the first words of Jesus to the apostles, right, to the disciples, whenever he found them, way back in Mark chapter 1 is, come follow me. Come follow me. Those were Jesus' first words. And that was the message that he left. I'm going to Galilee. Meet you there. Follow me. right? It's an echo back to the beginning of his ministry, right? Because the real story is just beginning. The real work is just beginning. Jesus' death on the cross and the resurrection, it changes everything. Last Sunday, I went over the crucifixion, and I said that it was an ugly story because it was an ugly event. Jesus bore all the ugliness of creation, all the brokenness, all the heartache, all the oppression and injustice, all the wanton violence and exploitation, all the deceit and lies, all of the sins done to us and by us. Jesus bore and bears it all. But that isn't all. He defeats it. He defeats it. He takes the ugliness. He takes death itself upon his body and soul. And he bears it all. He bears it all right into the tomb. Death was defeated. And he arose. Right? He is risen. Right? That's what we celebrated earlier today with the baptism. The death and burial of an old creation. Right? And the birth and resurrection of a new one. And every new creation is invited, just as the disciples, even Peter, the one who denied him, to come follow him, to see and participate in the kingdom-building work of Jesus the Christ of Nazareth. The Gospel of Mark, it ends with fear, right? The women that had come to anoint Jesus' body found that he was not there. They loved Jesus and were devoted to him, but the story kind of ends with a cliffhanger. Will they trust Jesus? Will they remember Jesus' words and ministry? Will they follow him? Right? And now, you know, with the hindsight of history and the other Gospels, we know that they do. But by reading such an abrupt ending, we're invited to ask those same questions of ourselves. Will we listen to him? Will we trust in Jesus? Will we follow him? What's our story? Who are we going to be? And that's the message of Mark and the gospel, the resurrection, Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Holy Father God, Lord, we thank you for your wonderful, redeeming, powerful work. Thank you for a love that transcends death, Lord. A love that says that you're always going to be with me. And Lord, I pray that we can learn how to live in that love, Lord. That we can learn how to repent daily, which just means turn around, to reject those broken things that have been done to us and that we have done, and say, I want to live in the newness of life and commit ourselves to following after you. To listening for your voice, to learning and hearing what you've called us to do. Lord, we lift all of this up in Christ's name. Amen.